The Haunted Underpants by Dale Shore, episode 14. When last we met, Gunston, an unusual child, had lost his first pair of talking underpants, but now some new underpants were also talking. So, he was turning to his grandfather for help. Now we continue. As you may be aware, grandparents in these sorts of adventures tend to be wise and brave and have sudden, unexpected reserves of energy that they use at the perfect time. As you've already met my grandfather, you'll appreciate that he displayed none of these things and almost certainly never would. Rather, he was confusing, ridiculous, annoying, a bit smelly, and driven by this urge to conduct pranks which failed utterly, and then left his victims lightly angered and completely full of pity. But the sad state of affairs was that this poor, deluded and thoroughly useless old gentleman was the only adult human who knew about my underpants problem, and so I felt I had no choice but to go and speak to him. The journey there was unremarkable. I found him in a completely empty communal area. Empty due to him, I should imagine. Probably because he had constructed a large papier-mâché tiger of unconvincing size and colour. The poorly made jaws of this terrible fake jungle animal were around my grandfather's throat, and a large amount of tomato sauce had been flung around his body and the rest of the room. Unfortunately, due to an oversight that defined my grandfather's life, the ketchup dispenser was still quite visible in his hand. I didn't mean to be rude, but I couldn't help but release an enormous window-rattling sigh when I saw him. This appeared to be the reaction he was after. "Ha-ha and ho-ho," he cried in triumph. "Thought I'd copped it, didn't you? At the hands of a tiger. I bet that completely blew your mind." I saw a nurse pass the doorway, miming an obvious throttling gesture with her hands, while looking in Grandfather's direction. I offered her a weak thumbs up in solidarity. "But look, it's not a real tiger at all, merely a perfectly duplicated model, built by me! Ho-ho!" "Bloody hell," I heard the pants say from the confines of my satchel. Did I mention I had a satchel? I can't imagine I did, it has no bearing at all on the story. However, his words reminded me of why I was there in the first place. "Yes," I said, hoping that would be an end of the whole tiger business. "I need to talk to you about something."
More talking underpants, is it?"
he said, which was quite surprising.
Yes, I stuttered.
"Would you like to see them?"
"No point," he declared with importance. "They would just lie there limply and pretend they could not speak. That is the nature of such things in the confines of occurrences such as this."
For some reason, he stood on his chair to release this speech, while placing his hand inside his cardigan like Napoleon.
"No standing on the chairs!"
an unseen voice bellowed via an amplified closed-circuit speaker system.
"Sorry," Grandfather uttered.
"But the problem is, as well as the new pair of talking underpants, the original pair,
have been stolen, yes."
My grandfather's perception in these matters was quite remarkable, especially considering he had been wrong about everything else in his entire life. The time he tried to cook an entire Chinese meal while wearing mittens springs to mind. "What should I do?" I asked.
Pondered Grandfather.
He continued until his face was quite purple.
"Stop doing that as well!"
the speaker cried at a volume that would make an anaesthetised sloth jump.
"We need to find Pedron," he said eventually.
"Pedron?"
"Yes, he's dealt extensively with this sort of thing before.
But we must act fast!" After this excited statement, Grandfather remained still in his chair and then quite possibly fell asleep.
"Yeah,"
declared the pants offhandedly. "Pedron!" This appeared to rouse my grandfather.
"Let's go!"
Next time, we set off to find the mysterious Pedron.